Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert, Ms. Denise, an etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Ms. Donna.
Well, good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Today is March 24, 2013, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. This evening's topic is interview etiquette, so stay tuned. I'm Ms. Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and I am so glad that you have taken part of your Sunday evening to join us. Now, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, let's answer that question. After all, our audience is made up of a group of listeners of all ages, and many of them that are listening this evening for the first time, I want to say welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Well, etiquette is just simply comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And week after week, I certainly send kudos to Charles I and II. So we are so excited about that. Well, once again, this evening, we are going to talk about interview etiquette. So if you are unemployed, underemployed, want to change careers, you certainly don't want to miss out on this information. So why not go ahead and grab a pen, some paper, take some notes. If you know someone who is looking for a job, text them, tweet them, and ask them to tune in because we have a lot of great information coming your way. We do have a special guest this evening. We're really excited about this. He is a human resource expert, and his name is Brian Chapman. Brian, are you there?
I am. Hello, Donna. How are you?
I am well, Brian. Happy Sunday to you.
Thank you. Happy Sunday to you. Hopefully the weather is not quite as inclement where you are as where I am.
We have probably, in Atlanta, we have probably about 50 degrees. It's pretty much been raining on and off today. We got quite a bit of rain last night. What's it like in your area?
Well, in our area, we are expecting anywhere between 7 and 10 inches of snow, and we are enjoying a very cool and brisk 20 degrees right now as we speak. So I am. So it's good to embrace some of the Georgia peaches amid some of the colder weather that we're having, even though we've moved into spring.
Wow. Well, oh my goodness. I'm shivering just thinking about what you just said. Well, I'm sure you're used to it though, right?
Yes, we've gotten used to it.
Okay. Yeah, you're in Indiana, correct?
That's right.
Wow. Listen, Brian, if you would, as I said, I'm really excited to have you join us this evening. If you can just kind of give our listeners, just kind of tell them something about yourself, and we've already begun getting messages, and so it's going to be quite a show. We've already have, email, so I'm just going to let you kind of tell the listeners a little bit about your background.
Sure, Donna. I represent a fairly diverse background in human resources, having worked in each of the functional areas of human resources, employee relations, recruitment and placement, benefits, training and development, and also compensation. I began my career early on out of college, having worked at the Indiana University. I managed employment programs for the government-sponsored program, Partners 2000, and then also a seniors program, which saw to place retired seniors with still very much needed and valuable skills in roles that still advanced and supported departments while still allowing individuals who are retired to feel a sense of value and worth. I have a fairly extensive background, over 12 years of government experience, having worked in human resources, having supported all levels of the organization. This included frontline employees, director-level employees, and executive-level employees working in each of those functional areas. I left federal government about 10 years ago and went into private industry. My role came with the opportunity to advance my career by working directly in the business. There I supported a $6.5 billion operation, Global Supply Chain Operation North America Division, where I supported a vice president of that particular business group and then had a reporting relationship to Vice President of Human Resources. About 2 years later, I was laid off from that company, and I'll share the company name. That was Nortel Networks, and incidentally, I happen to be located just in the suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, in Alpharetta, Georgia. In that role, I supported over 500 employees in both the United States and in Canada. Not only did I support them in terms of ensuring that those employment pieces and needs were met, but also in the form of strategic planning, legal compliance, project management, salary planning, management of bottom 5%, all those pieces that come with ensuring that one is able to utilize the human resources architecture to ensure that employees are supported while ensuring that the human resources office remained neutral while still supporting good management employee relations. Upon my leaving Nortel Networks, I've been doing HR consulting ever since. I have an advanced degree in adult education with an emphasis in corporate training, in which I do a fair amount of training both local and internationally with respect to business communication, strategic planning, policies, practices, and procedures. And so with that comprises my human resources background that I have thoroughly enjoyed.
Wow. Okay. I don't think that there's an area that's been left out. So I know you'll be able to embrace, you know, we have so many questions, and I know that you're going to be able to embrace these questions. Of course, we've all been hearing on the news about the unemployment rate, and I know that this week the announcement was made that the unemployment rate is lower in Georgia than it has been in the last 4 years. But we really don't want to talk about really the unemployment rate per se, because we want to give people hope, we want to encourage them, and we certainly want to, you know, share information that will take you from either being unemployed to underemployed and put you back on top of that particular whatever the career is, or even if you are transitioning and changing careers, we certainly want to give you hope and encouragement for that as well. I want to start by there's a question here. It says, dear etiquette ladies and guests, can you please tell me how long should your resume be? I have been in the workforce for 30 years, lost my job, and am having to re-enter the workforce. If I share every single job that I've had, it will be several pages. So how long exactly should it be? And this comes from Catherine. Catherine's out of New Jersey.
Fantastic. Catherine asked a very, very pertinent question. And in response to that question, having sourced certainly my fair share of resumes, there are two approaches that Catherine should consider to determining the number of pages of a resume. First question that Catherine should ask herself is, given the job position that she's applying for, what jobs do you feel are most pertinent to the position in which you're applying for. That's going to give you some idea as to how long your resume should be, because you're going to certainly want to include those jobs and those positions which represent the roles and functions, responsibilities that you had, which you are attempting to relate your qualifications to the position in which you're applying for. Most of the time, recruiters or sources prefer a shorter resume, but however, depending upon the nature of the position that you're applying for, when I say the nature of the position, let me be a little bit more specific. If that position, for example, is an executive-level position, well, you're going to have a much longer resume. Those resumes may be in excess of 3 to 5 or 6 pages long. At that point, we don't refer to them as resumes. We refer to them as BITAs, B-I-T-A-Es, BITAs. So there are places in which a longer resume is much more appropriate. But the objective should always be to streamline your resume to the extent that you can. But the operative question becomes, what previous companies have I worked for? What previous roles and responsibilities have I performed? Do I especially want to put before that reviewing official to qualify me for a position? So in response to your question, Catherine, Those hopefully those tips will be instrumental in helping you to determine the length of your resume. Generally, 2 pages should be enough. Depending upon again the category of job that you're applying for, I mentioned in conclusion the executive positions. Those call for much longer resumes in many cases. But then you also have administrative, technical positions, which and white collar and blue collar positions, which may not call for a resume which is quite as long, but you especially just want to ensure that you have the kind of experience and the companies there that you believe are going to represent you best for consideration of the job you're applying for.
Great. And again, Catherine, thank you so much for that question. I have a question here also, Brian, that says, must every cover letter be designed to the job, or can I use a broad or generic cover letter? This comes from Maria Brennan in Dallas, Texas. So she just wants to know, does she have to personalize each and every one of her cover letters, or can she just use a generic one?
To the caller at Dallas, Texas, and by the way, welcome Dallas to the show. I'm just returning from Dallas. I'm on business just as recent as this past Wednesday, so I feel that we share a kindred spirit. The weather was certainly much warmer there when I left versus when I returned. In response to your cover letter, there are a couple of responses that I have. A generic cover letter, certainly, it can work. The very definition of cover letter means introduction. In certain other cases, it also means letter of motivation. You're attempting to set yourself off with that. And ladies and gentlemen, presenting whomever this individual is with information that has the effect of amplifying and stirring up the pot with respect to all the great ingredients that you represent and that you're able to bring to the employer. So you can use a generic. You can use from the in terms of introducing your skill set, you can use a generic letter. However, personalized cover letters generally tend to distinguish you and separate you from the rest of the applicants. It is not uncommon, especially in this depressed economy, for a recruiter or for that individual in human resources to review upwards of 100, 150, even 175 applications or resumes for the same job, again, depending upon the position to which you're applying for. So when you personalize your cover letter, when that cover letter is read, that recruiter or that reviewing official, when they see that letter, when they see your personalized letter, it's going to distinguish you with respect to the level of effort, the level of diligence that they perceive has gone into your cover letter. And then they will in turn relate that to, likewise, the type of contributions, the level and quality of work that you will bring to the employer. So wherever possible, it's always in your interest to personalize your cover letter. Certainly you want to personalize your cover letter, especially so that it names specifically the position that you're applying for. For example, if you were applying for an administrative position, specifically the position of secretary, let's say, you wouldn't want to say, please, I'm applying to your applying to your position within your company, you would want to name the position, because immediately that reviewing official will perceive that they're just throwing out resumes without even giving any attention to the critical data that the job calls for. So personalized letters are always the preference, and they have the effect of putting you that much closer to being considered for a position. I hope that that's helpful.
Okay, I'm sure that was certainly helpful for her. That was some great information, and those out there listening, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to go to the phone, Brian, and take some live calls. We'll be back in just a moment.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition, the book What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include How to Master the Art of Networking, Business Over Lunch, and How to Impress Your Interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars, that's www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, if you guys are just joining us, our topic this evening is interview etiquette. We have human resource expert Brian Chapman. He's giving us some great information on retooling, on preparing your resume, your cover letter, just a lot of great information. We're going to go ahead and go to the phone, extension 1328. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello. Hello, can you hear me? Extension 1328.
Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Doing great. We are talking with Brian Chapman, our human resource expert. And what is your comment? Or I guess what is your name and maybe the area you're calling from?
Oh, hello. My name is Lanice. I'm calling from Cleveland. And I did have a question. I'm not quite sure. I'm hoping it's not too far out of the realm of this discussion. I'm kind of curious. I've been on my job for quite a few years, and I was actually relieved of my position after I had went on short-term disability. Their release was not something that I felt, was proper, because I was supposed to return to work on the 31st on my paperwork, and my doctor said I would need another week out, and they said, I'm sorry, we're not going to hold your position. So, of course, I did not receive any of my vacation time, sick time, all of the monies that I had accumulated since it was, starting into another year. I didn't receive that. Is there anything that I could possibly do to try to rectify the situation for myself?
Cole, it sounds, first of all, I'm sorry to hear of your unfortunate circumstance. You certainly have experienced some level of sickness, and then on top of that, that very unpleasant communication that you no longer have employment. Before you took your short-term disability, there are two things that immediately come to mind. That is, first of all, your company's policies and practices which govern short-term disability, which you would find in your employer handbook. That is the first thing that you're going to want to consult to see if your employer is in fact in compliance with its policy concerning short-term disability. Regardless of the amount or the period that you are out of work, you inform that your doctor. And by the way, your situation is not an uncommon situation where doctors do not release. A good employer will attempt to accommodate or create what is known as an alternate work arrangement for you, in an effort to accommodate your illness or in an effort to accommodate your recovery. But I believe that what you're saying is that you had exceeded the amount of time of your short-term disability. Is that correct? By 1 week, is that correct?
Actually, no, it had not actually exceeded it. It was just from looking at the paperwork from the doctor, they gave a possible date of me returning on that day, on the 31st. So that's the date that they're actually going to take into consideration. My short-term disability, I still had, I believe, 3 weeks remaining on my short-term disability.
You have certainly a very unusual situation, and while I wish I could be more specific, based on the information that you shared with me, I believe that your greatest offense in this particular case will be to consult your employer handbook. Consult your employer handbook and ensure that that your employer is operating within the compliance of your employer handbook. If in fact you have short-term disability that covers a prescribed period of time and you did not exceed that period of time, and then furthermore you have substantiated your leave, which is always important, you have substantiated your absence due to the illness with a doctor's statement. Usually there is a very strong level of management cooperation with that process. So I'm a little bit concerned and disturbed at the same time based on what you're sharing with me. How many days were you out of work?
I do believe it was a month. I would definitely say a month and, what was it, 6 weeks? Well, maybe 2 months, actually.
Okay, and that's sufficient. Thanks very much. The reason that I'm asking is to see if you even exceeded the period that is otherwise allotted to you by FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. Did you invoke FMLA given the nature of your illness, perchance?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you have a rather unusual circumstance, which unfortunately this call is not going to allow us to explore all of the root causes or the issues that may work into this. But it would certainly appear that you do have an issue that certainly concerns a very strong difference of platform that needs to be resolved. Absolutely. Start first by looking at your employee handbook, and then and to ensure that your employer is in fact in compliance with its own policies. And I hope that helps.
Okay. Well, thank you. At least you gave me a starting point, so I definitely appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. And all the best to you.
Thank you. The same to you. Thank you, guys, and have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for your call. And so great. Thank you for that information. And, of course, it was, within your scope, because benefits, that you've mentioned, that was also one of your jobs as well. Grab another question. And callers, thank you so much for your patience. In fact, let me go ahead and go back to the phone right now. Extension 8395. Thanks so much for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, and yourself?
I'm doing well. If you can say hello to our special guest, Brian.
Hello, Brian. How are you this evening?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. And what's your question this evening, please?
Well, I'm just enjoying the show. The questions and answers, I am currently trying to go into a different career, get career change.
Okay.
So
sure.
I was just wanting to listen in and just kind of hear what was being said. I really didn't have a question, but I'm very interested in what's being said, so.
Well, to your platform, and thank you for your those are very warming words, and it's always great to even in relationship to the nature of this show. One is always well served to be as informed as they can. So I say that since hopefully there may be some information of value that may serve you well as you're looking at your career change. And thank you very much for sharing with us that you're in the process of looking at career changes. And one other thing that comes to mind as well, too, my friend, and that is, as you are looking at career changes at this particular point in time, make sure that you stay engaged. Are you currently working right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So during this period, whatever may have precipitated, I'm not, and what may ever what perhaps precipitate your unemployment at this time, whether you are laid off work, whether you have been. When you resigned your position, I'd like to recommend to you just a couple of points that will keep you very actively engaged during this period. It is your job to find a job. Yes.
Yes.
Number two, any opportunities that come your way, seize those opportunities. Whether those opportunities be education related, whether they be seminar related, those things reflect and bode well on a resume. They also look very nice in a cover letter, as they show some level of initiative and they show some level of where you have prepared yourself to contribute to the work situation that you look to enter into. And then secondly, also consider volunteer opportunities. I don't know what your background is, but whatever your skill set is, your role and function, wherever there might be some opportunity to roll that out to a nonprofit organization, perhaps to a local school, to a YMCA, to your church, wherever that opportunity might be able to present itself, those things look very, very attractive to employers and also show a certain level of resilience on your part. So again, thank you for sharing your satisfaction with the information so far, and we wish you every success.
Thank you so much, and those things you just said, I will consider them because I never thought of it.
Yes.
You know, I am a volunteer, and I am pursuing to go back to school. So.
Excellent. Excellent. Make sure you relate those volunteer opportunities to any particular jobs that you may attempt to retransition or realign your career path to, okay?
Yes, thank you so much, Ryan.
You're welcome.
And you certainly do. You want to stay encouraged. And you want to pray, and you will be directed. You know, the Lord will certainly order your steps. So just certainly be encouraged. Don't become discouraged, because you cannot be encouraged and discouraged at the same time. Okay?
Thank you so much, Sean.
And thank you so much for calling. Continue to listen, okay? All right, Brian. Wonderful information.
A very nice lady there. I think she really has set the tone for a lot of people. I think that we've all been there, even for those of us who've been employed. I would wager to say that we've all considered what our next steps are going to be, what our next career path will be. And so I think she really sets the stage.
Yes, exactly. Especially when you get to a certain, you know, age in your life, and perhaps that you're going to be looking at,
absolutely,
you know, either changing careers,
absolutely,
or just trying to determine exactly what are you supposed to do at this point.
That's
so, I have another question here. It says, what's the time frame for follow-up with a prospective employer? I usually email them every other day so they don't forget me. And this comes from Cal from Denver. Well, I want to say most prospective employers don't really like that, for the simple fact they're getting so much information. I usually say send them a thank you card. If you want to be remembered, send them a thank you note, handwritten thank you note. You don't want to email it. You want to go ahead and handwrite a personal thank you note, and they will remember you from that. I know we've had our friend to the show here, Denise, our HR person, and I remember she says that she would always say, please don't do that. There's some people that would call every day, and she said that is an absolute no-no to do that. Do you want to piggyback on that, Brian?
Donna, absolutely. I think that the points you made, some very, very good points. And let me see if I can't just support the platform that you just mentioned with respect to probably following up. First of all, that caller, Cal, I believe is your name, in Denver. I'd like to first of all say that I salute your level of tenacity. I certainly do, and it shows that you're very, very serious about a job. I'd like to suggest a split intersection here. I really, really would. One of the schools of thought is that you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Now that's one perspective, and then the other perspective is a perspective that, of course, Donna, you made very good mention of. I also may allude to it at the outset of the show, and that is that recruiters, depending upon the position that you're applying for, receive scores of applications and resumes, and so you don't want to risk potentially wearing on the otherwise the patience of the recruiter. So all that said, to say that probably every other day, while it certainly shows tenacity and seriousness on your part, and there have been some individuals who have distinguished themselves that way, it's like this person must be serious. It just really kind of depends on the recruiter. But I think that every other day probably is just a little bit much. Certainly follow up with that thank you note. That's going to be one of the things that does have the effect of standing out. I don't believe that there are currently statistics, at least supplied by the Society for Human Resources Management, of which I am a member. In fact, I'm prompted to go on to see if there are statistics concerning the number of applications that are followed by thank you notes. But I can tell you that in my experience that there are far greater applications there than there are thank you notes. So, yes, that's going to get you distinguished. And, yes, handwriting, it shows that there was a level of effort involved, and that distinguishes you from all the rest. I would recommend, though, however, because there is a reality that you are trying to get noticed. So I want to commend you, Cal, for that. You're trying to get noticed because there are scores of other applications in many cases for the job that you are applying for. Rather than trying to check in with the employer every other day, why not at least give it 2 or 3 weeks? Why not at least give it 2 or 3 weeks, okay, just to drop just shoot a quick email thanking them for their consideration and with some content that lends itself to your continued interest in the position. And if you would kindly feel free to reach out to me if I can supply you with any additional information concerning my very strong interest in your position, and that will be sufficient. But you don't want to present yourself as one who is working on the tolerance of the recruiter.
Mm-hmm. Or a pest, you know, keeping it real. And oftentimes some of the recruiters will say
Donna, you said that and not me, but at any rate, and that is the nature of the matter. That really
right.
is. I think that you're keeping it real. That's straight talk, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
recruiters are trying to be as equitable as they can, but in this depressed economy, and the reality of the matter is that there is a far excessive supply of applicants than there are jobs. Not saying that to be discouraging, but out of this we're able to innovate strategy, which I think you've
mm-hmm.
done a very good job of helping us to understand. And that strategy is that we don't want to wear on the tolerance of those individuals who are dealing with several others just like you and me. So I think
mm-hmm.
that your points are well taken, but we want to commend Cal from an encouragement standpoint that it's very clear that you have the energy and that you are very tenacious. Keep up the good work, but not quite as many follow-ups.
Right, absolutely. And the only reason I actually said that is because we've had HR reps on before, and, you know, they say you have 4 or 5 people that are doing the exact same thing. They're calling you every single day and emailing you every single day. It gets to a point where it's like, look, we're just going to take this person out of the loop because they don't understand. I said that I would follow up with them within 2 weeks or something like that. So that's the reason for that, but just kind of keeping it real, because I've had some keep it real HR reps on. So we want to be able to look at both sides. I have a message here that is asking, dear etiquette lady, what is a phone interview? And a phone interview, I talk about in my book, What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? They're often referred to as phone interviews or phone screens.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for those of you who may be getting back into the workforce, and I have a question from a retiree that I'll read in just a little bit. You haven't, you know, you may have been in your job for 25 years, and then you're having to go back through the recruiting process because you're trying to get back into the workforce. So I want to just, I'm going to just talk a little bit about phone screens and really how to prepare for them, because a lot of people don't really realize that you should, you know, take time. You should have preparation time for these. So phone interviews are more common today than ever before. It's just as important for you to prepare for a phone screen as you are applying for a position. That is really key. You want to be sure to put in your cover letter the best time to reach you as well. If you cannot be contacted during your regular work hours, you might suggest that you prefer to be called at home or during your break period. When expecting a call at home, this is really, really key, guys, especially those of you that have smaller children in the household. You want to make sure that you've already fed your children, you know, perhaps they're down for a nap. You don't want any background noises. You want to really sound as though you're actually in an office setting, okay? So you do want to, and I call it just setting up an interview room, okay? You want to, whatever you do, you want to create that professional atmosphere. And you want to place any notes, maybe a copy of the information that you've submitted on your table or desk, and make sure you have something to write with so that you can take notes as you're talking. So, you know, make sure your music is off, your television is off, because this is just like a face-to-face interview, except you're not in front of that prospective employer. So these are really important for the simple fact your phone screen or your phone interview can really determine whether or not you are going to actually receive a face-to-face interview. So that is really important. And if you want to elaborate or piggyback on that, Brian, you are certainly welcome to do that. And by the way, guys, if you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about interview etiquette. Go right ahead, Brian.
Donna, thanks so much. I think that you've set the platform, and you've set the platform very, very well. Etiquette, consider certainly those protocols, and in the case of looking for the job, the interview process, we're concerned about presenting a professional platform, and that platform, it is very important that platform not be clouded with nor plagued with any distractions at all. At such time that that you are able to create or to obtain an interview, it means that you are on full stage. And you don't want to do anything that will have the effect of taking away from that experience. There's one other thing that I wanted to add as well, too. You're right, with respect to clearing the room and ensuring that that employer feels that you have full focus, and that is also clear the telephones or your cell phone. Those can have the effect of creating distractions, even if distracting you from the questions at hand. Finally, I would conclude by saying this as it relates to phone screens. Phone screens are primarily designed to pre-qualify a candidate before bringing them in. Phone screens are primarily, I shouldn't say primarily used, but they are often used when you may be applying for a position out of state. And so before a company may determine to expend its budget, its recruiting budget to fly you in or to pay you mileage for coming in, oftentimes a phone screen will have the effect of allowing them to determine, a company that is, to determine your skill sets, your knowledge of skills and or abilities in relationship to the job, so that they can distinguish you from that of candidate to that then which becomes an applicant. Candidate is an individual who has made application to the job. An applicant is one who we're wanting to take to the next level. And so, yes, your preparation for each of those, your preparation for the in-person interview as well as what may result in a phone screen, your preparation is very, very important.
Okay, great. Let's see. Here is one that says, Dear Etiquette Ladies, I enjoy listening to your show each week. Thank you for what you're doing. I've attended job fairs, and they always ask you to bring resumes, but usually don't take them. They tell you to go online to complete the app. Why is that? Oh, boy, this is, comes from Kathy in Atlanta. And that is a fact, Brian. You know, when you hear the promos for the job fairs, oh, make sure that you dress for success and have plenty of resumes in hand. And then when you're in front of the prospective employers, they say, well, what you need, we're not accepting your resume at this time. We would like for you instead to go online and complete the application. And can you address that, please?
You know, something, I really wish that I could address that, aside of saying that that certainly does not reflect very well upon the image of the company. It certainly does not reflect well upon its brand, and not at all. And then again, some of the information that may go out in terms of pretext to a job fair may be the information by the job fair sponsors themselves and not the employer. So that's one of the first things that I would ask you, as a part of your indulgence, Kathy, to consider that the sponsors of the job fair, sometimes they're sponsored by the Atlanta Constitution. If memory serves me correctly, they may be college sponsored job fairs. Some of the job fairs, a growing number of job fairs, are being sponsored by one's state senators as they attempt to serve the people. So don't become discouraged by that. That's just, unfortunately, it's one of those realities, and you have to champion that. But even so, my parting words to you would be is that I would always want to be prepared rather than unprepared. And being prepared means that I am fully armored, and being fully armored means that I am certainly ready to discuss my resume. Okay, and then in addition to that, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, even if there are representatives of companies that are there, and even though they may be referring you to their employer websites, if you are able to articulate in that 30-second elevator ride, as the analogy is, if you've got 30 seconds in an elevator to introduce yourself and to give highlights as to why you should be remembered when you do apply to that website, take full advantage of doing that. In addition to that, you should also, while you're there meeting with the representative, ask them if they would agree to share with you the name of a contact within the organization whom they might be able to follow up with, even if that same individual themselves. So what you're doing is creating an impression that will hopefully be a lasting impression that will place you at least a step closer to consideration for your position. A very excellent question, but please do not allow that to disrupt the professional platform that you bring. Don't let that tarnish your A game.
Mm-hmm. Great information. And just, you know, let each one of those, you know, be a practice session. And, of course, the more you attend, the more that you are able to speak about your resume and your qualifications, the better polished you will be. Here's just a quick question. Can you please give me an example of a thank you note, and should you send thank you notes to phone prospective employers? And I say, absolutely, just a quick an example. Thank you for taking time out of your day to speak with me regarding, say, the senior analyst position. I really enjoyed speaking with you and have a greater understanding of this position. I'm very interested in a face-to-face interview. Okay? Sincerely. And just shoot that, you know, stick that in the mail to them.
And that's a very appropriate letter. You better believe it. That's very appropriate. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I might potentially add to that is that if there were any significant if there was any significant exchange that took place in the course of your interview, what do I mean by significant exchange? If, for example, in the course of the interview, the manager may have shared a specific business challenge of the organization, if that manager may have shared with you a substantial need, you might just want to briefly reference that need, and again, plug your thank you letter by stating that it was a pleasure speaking to you concerning your business challenges, and I'd like to also take this opportunity to share with you that again, I've received my certification in project management, as well as have a certification in human resources, and again, I look forward to being strongly considered as a contributor to your company. So not only am I seizing the opportunity to say thank you, I'm still seizing that same opportunity to promote myself in relationship to the employer's needs. So let's, just with respect to being strategic, you're being strategic because you want to go on record as being remembered for your thankful being remembered for being thankful for the interview, while at the same time you're trying to set yourself up such that employer will also recall specific outcomes that you're capable of creating for that employer in relationship to their needs. Hopefully that information will serve you well.
Wonderful. And you are listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We will be right back after this message.
Do you have children under 18? Do you rent or own your home? How much money do you have saved for retirement? How do you plan to support yourself when you retire? What would you and your family do if a loved one died without a will or insurance? If you are not sure, you need to consult with Bowden Financial Group. Larry E. Bowden has over 20 years' experience in the insurance and financial service industry. He holds a BS degree from Morris Brown College in Business Administration and maintains a Georgia State Insurance license. He is a chartered senior financial planner and is the owner of Bowden Financial Group. Based on 100 average Americans, upon retirement age, 1% will be well-to-do, 3% will have no estate and will have to keep working, 4% will have income, 92% will be dependent or dead broke. Let Bowden Financial Group be your financial planner. After all, he has assisted thousands of individuals and small businesses over the years. Bowden Financial Group, 770-981-6024. Once again, 770-981-6024. Call now.
Thanks, Sugar.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition, the book What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include how to master the art of networking, business over lunch, and how to impress your interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars at www.pagesetiquette.com. www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, we are back. We are about to conclude our conversation here about interview etiquette. I have a couple messages by, they mentioned that I mentioned the book. The book is called What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? And it can be purchased online on my website. That's www.pagesetiquette.com, P-A-I-G-E-S. etiquette.com. And Pages Etiquette Seminars, the website, is the official website for purchasing any of my etiquette products. Brian, I want to just kind of go over a few tips. I'm sorry we didn't have an opportunity to address all of the questions here, but I'm going to kind of summarize. We've had some questions regarding what you should wear, what time should you arrive, and so on and so forth. So what I'm just going to do, I'm going to read a few tips out of What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? It's page 92. What you want to do first is just simply research the position and company prior to the interview. Be on time for your interview, and that means that
arrive in at least 15 minutes early, and that will allow you to complete the paperwork, such as an application or, you know, whatever it is. You actually, being on time means being early, okay? Not 30, 45 minutes to an hour, you know, just kind of hanging out, but you want to be there at least by 15 minutes, okay, early. When meeting your interviewer, just give a firm handshake, say nice to meet you. And I'm going over a lot of these because we've also gotten some information and messages from some of the college students who are graduating. So some of them will be, this will be your first actual corporate experience. You want to make sure you also maintain eye contact during the interview, maintain good posture. You want to sit up straight, look alert. You want to listen and definitely be attentive, taking notes. You want to also take notes. Never interrupt the interviewer. When the time comes, speak up and be enthusiastic. At the conclusion of the interview, thank him or her for his or her time. Give a firm handshake. Say it was a pleasure meeting you. And, of course, don't forget to write and mail a thank you note, okay? Typically, when you interview, a male should wear a dark suit. A female can wear a dark suit, white shirt, white blouses, dark shoes. That's always really, that's what you call conservative attire, okay? Brian.
Yes, Donna.
I want to, once again, thank you so much for spending this time with us and you know, giving this information. And you guys out there, whether this is your first time, you know, it's your first time seeking employment, if you were laid off, if, you know, your job just ended and you're having to get back into, you know, the workforce, be encouraged, okay?
Yeah.
You want to certainly be encouraged and make sure that, you know, whether or not you wear a white collar, a blue collar, or no collar at all, always remember that proper business etiquette is essential, okay? So you want to make sure that, you know, you carry yourself with confidence and grace. And if you want to go ahead and give a couple closing points, Brian, that would be great.
Donna, thanks a lot. And also thank you for the opportunity to talk to some of your great listeners. I certainly am very sensitive to the job market right now, as well as those individuals who are putting forward their best foot to get that job. And I would just simply like to submit this to you. For those individuals who are unemployed, specifically those who have been affected by layoff, I have been laid off 2 times. And they are not pleasant experiences, to say the least. But even so, I'd like to simply to remind that continue to put your best foot forward. Stay engaged. Stay engaged while you're still making applications to jobs. At the end of the day, your consolation will be that you've done as best you can. In the words of Dr. King, you've done as best you can with what you have. And then in addition to that, if providing that you are diligently seeking opportunities, if you don't find that opportunity, if that opportunity will find you, keep up the good fight.
Great. And, Brian, talking about being encouraged, and each week we always ask our listeners to be sure to initiate a random act of kindness, and we ask our listeners to share those. We're going to share one of those right now.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Okay, this note says, Dear Etiquette Lady, we enjoy listening to your show weekly. In fact, we look forward to that family time. You always ask us to initiate an act of kindness, and I want to share one with your listeners. Last Friday, I was in line waiting to pump my gas. For some reason, the line was longer than usual. I was in a big hurry, but I had to wait. I kept thinking to myself, I hope I'm not late for my meeting. The guy who was next in line looked back at me and asked if I wanted to go in front of him. I said, yes, thanks. I told him that was really kind of him. I asked his name, and he said, Mark. And that was certainly an act of kindness. And this comes from Deborah Searcy. And Deborah lives in Augusta, Georgia. And we certainly do want to applaud Mark. That was very nice. And thank you so much for sharing that. Thanks again, you guys, for supporting our show and listening. All of our callers, everyone that sent us emails and messages, those joining us for the first time, our loyal listeners who tune in each week, we are so glad that you are part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or even a topic that you would like to hear discussed on the program, please feel free to send that to us. We ask you to be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And we know we can only do this one person at a time. We ask that you would remember the golden rule, and that is, treat others the way you want to be treated. That comes from Matthew 7 and 12. And each week we remind you, no matter how challenging it gets, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3 and 3. And once again, we remind you to be sure to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Okay? Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. Take care. Good night. God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.